What is going on, everybody? Welcome to A Theology of Hustle. I'm your host, Curry Blanford, and today we are kicking off our series on Revelation and work. So this is a little bit of a departure if you're a regular podcast listener for these 3+ years that I've been doing this podcast. It's been interview focused, focused around people's stories, which I think is wonderful. I love just delving into people's stories, but I have lamented that I have not had an opportunity to really teach much on work as I've been exploring this concept throughout this podcast. And so this series is a stab at that, trying out of kind of talking through work stuff, things that I've been learning about work. And I know it's weird jumping straight into Revelation when talking about this stuff, but hear me out a little bit as to the why behind talking about Revelation. So when you go to a lot of New Testament books, like people tend to focus a lot on the epistles, right? These groups of Pauline letters or letters written by Peter to certain churches, and that's really helpful. There's some great theology in there, great things to be brought out of those letters. I think it's really important we study those. There's a lot of like really in-depth theology. Most of our theology comes from that. The problem is when you're talking about letters, though, you're talking about letters written to specific churches in specific situations. And I think a lot of times when we go to interpret those letters, we don't take enough consideration as to like what's going on in that church. Like Paul's writing specifically to a church that he knows the people and he knows what's going on. And there's a lot of times a disconnect between what we can know about the situation and what Paul's really writing to. And so we don't always take those things in consideration when we're reading letters, which can lead to a lot of misreading of the letters. What's cool about the book of Revelation, though, is it is written to 7 churches specifically that are talked about in chapters 2 and 3 of the book, but it is a book that is meant to be sent out to all of these other places. It's a book for all time, for the church at all times, and its core message relates to all churches at all times, I would say. And I think the lack of understanding Revelation and of reading Revelation and seeking not to kind of unlock the mysteries of Revelation, but to really understand what John is really trying to tell the church, I think leads to, it's a detriment to us, where we don't get as much out of the book as we really could, because there is a lot of depth there. And so I want to maybe just even like dip our toe into the wisdom that Revelation has for us by talking about work, right? And so that is a long-winded intro to something that I think is going to be really fun, is talking about 3 different sections of the book of Revelation over the next 4 weeks and really delving into how those sections apply to us and what it can mean for us today. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to learn a lot, I hope. And I really enjoy teaching this stuff. So I'm excited to go on this journey. But before we can get to any of that, I think we need a little bit of an intro to 2 concepts. The first of those concepts is, what does work actually mean? That is maybe someplace we even need to start. I think it's kind of assumed we know what work is, but I don't think we always have our minds wrapped around all of the aspects of what work really is. And then I need to do a short intro into just reading the book of Revelation, right? There is no more abused book of the Bible, I think, than the book of Revelation. That people will manipulate the words and the, you know, some of the prophecies and interpret it in these ways that are improper and lead to, I think, really dangerous doctrines and really dangerous ways of sort of operating in the world, like thinking everything's just going to burn and so we don't have to care about the world, for instance. I think that's a really dangerous way to use the book of Revelation. And I think with a few simple steps and a few quick tools, you can have a better understanding of Revelation like really quickly. And so so what we're going to do is we're going to introduce work. I want to introduce the concept of work, and then I want to introduce how to read Revelation, a really simple primer into the book of Revelation. So what's the first thing you think of when you hear the word work, right? Most of the time for me and for, I think most of us, it's the drudgery. Like work is just sort of a bad word, you know, like, I got to go to work, you know, but it always applies to sort of this, money getting aspect of our lives, the way in which we make money, you know, the things that we do, but work is such a bigger concept than that. Like think about, the work that we do around the house, right? Even if we don't sort of aren't in the season of raising kids or that's not where we're at, you know, there's still housework that has to be done. And that work, I don't think we can divorce outside. We can't bring it outside of this bigger concept of work because we're not making money to do it. You think of maybe caring for somebody else, caring for children, caring for elderly parents or family members that with disabilities. I mean, all of that is considered work and needs to fit into this category of work in some way. And a lot of times those things are outside of our purview when we talk about work and then how we talk about the kingdom as a part of work. So what does it really mean to work? This is where a professor named Miroslav Volf has been really helpful to me. He has a book called Work in the Spirit, and it's trying to understand work from the perspective of the Holy Spirit working in us, and the perspective of the end times, of seeing our work right now as moving into the end times, which we will get into as we talk about the book of Revelation. But he has a definition that I'm just going to go with because he's so much smarter than me and I could never attempt to come up with a definition of work that is this good. It's a little complicated, so I'll read it a couple times for you. But here's what Dr. Volf says about work. He says, work is honest, purposeful, and methodologically specific social activity whose primary goal is the creation of products or states of affairs that can satisfy the needs of working individuals or their co-creatures, or, if primarily an end in itself, activity that is necessary in order for acting individuals to satisfy their needs apart from the need for the activity itself. Like I said, a little complicated. Let me read it one more time so you can sort of wrap your mind around this. Work is honest, purposeful, and methodologically specified social activity whose primary goal is the creation of products or states of affairs that can satisfy the needs of working individuals or their co-creatures. Or, if primarily an end in itself, activity that is necessary in order for acting individuals to satisfy their needs, apart from the need of for the activity itself. And so this is a complicated definition, but it's the concept that's very simple. It's really like meeting some sort of need through what we put our hands to, right? For individuals and or for ourselves. And so work, when understood from this perspective, could mean so many things. And it expands our idea of how the kingdom can operate, how God's kingdom can move into all these different places. And we'll get into some of those aspects as we go through this series on the book of Revelation. But I want to maybe start off by just sort of broadening your concept of work, what work even is, right? And so, I don't know, in our culture, we tend to devalue so many times calling, when we talk about calling and we talk about work and our purpose, we tend to just box it into a really small set of principles. But somebody who's retired still works, like still does the definition of work and still is a kingdom participator in their works, even if they're not doing something, doing a work that produces money for them, right? We can't just like box work into that. Like somebody, again, who's taking care of an elderly parent, that is work, and that is important work, and that is like necessary and beautiful work. And it still has value to the kingdom, even though it's not bringing in monetary value to that person or those around them. Think of somebody with maybe disabilities too. Like when we limit the scope of work, we limit those who are not able to do work in a classic sense of the word, and we make it to where they're not able to work in our definitions of what work is. And so in this whole calling work, you know, finding your purpose sort of world, I think we need to really be careful about how we even think about work and how we think about what is beneficial and what is productive. This is a soapbox that I'm jumping on sort of off the cuff here, but work is so much bigger than what we think it is. And when we just relegate it to just very small pieces of our lives, I think we miss out on something really important. And so, okay, so that's work. That's how I'm defining work for how we're talking about this series. Now we need to get into Revelation, which this is an introduction into reading the book of Revelation. Takes time. I recently just taught this to a small group of people at our church, and I think I'd spent maybe 5 or 6 hours just on the intro into the book of Revelation. So what I'm saying by telling you that is that this is not going to do the book of Revelation justice. I have resources for that. If you really are wanting to sort of dig in, delve in deeper, you can reach out to me about some of those things. If that's something you really want to get into, I'd love to know if there's even a demand for something like that people want it. But I just want to do a really, really quick intro into genre. And when we talk about genre in the Bible, I think a lot of times we don't think enough about genre when we're thinking and reading the Bible. Because reading a novel, for instance, is going to be very different reading than reading a technical manual, right? And when we're doing that sort of reading in our everyday lives, we make that shift intuitively a lot of times. I don't know that we all make that shift intuitively enough sometimes, or think about enough the genre of what we're reading, but we do different types of reading for different ways of writing, right? You know, that person is using their writing in a different way in something like a novel, in something like storytelling, than they are in sort of technical writing, right? We do this with movies, like our expectations of what a comedy is going to be or what an action is going to be. I mean, these are important distinctions in what to even expect from a movie or some sort of entertainment that we're into. And so when we come to the Bible, a lot of times we're not thinking about that genre. Like I said earlier, when Paul's writing an epistle to the Ephesians, he's doing it in a very specified way to very specific people. And we can broaden those concepts and sort of tease out what he means after a lot of work, but we can't just jump straight in without considering that he is writing a letter. He's not writing a gospel. He's not writing a psalm. He's not doing these other things. And so one of the most important parts about Revelation is just even understanding its genre, which is in and of itself complicated. Right? So the problem with Revelation is that it has three distinct genres that are all actually specifically in the text. So we know that the author John is writing these, thinking about these genres as he's writing. And so I want to just read the first couple of verses here of the book of Revelation, starting in verse 1. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take heart what is written in it, because the time is near. So you can see two specifically different genres right here in what I just read. The first one is apocalypse. That is which is a totally loaded word. I'm very understanding that, like, when we hear the word apocalypse, we have something that comes into our brain, probably involving zombies and shotguns, right? I mean, we have this idea of what apocalypse is. But the word apocalypse actually occurs. It's the second word in there, the revelation from Jesus Christ. And so revelation is a Greek word, apokalypsis, which is where we get the word apocalypse, and just means revelation. That's where the book even gets its name, right? So when we talk about apocalypse, we're not talking about a free-for-all, end times, the world is on fire sort of situation. We're talking about a revealing, which is a biblical concept for the word apocalypse. You see other apocalypses in the Old Testament with the book of Daniel. There's a little bit in Zechariah as well. And an apocalypse is not everything is going wrong and like the world's sort of on fire. Like I said, apocalypse is a revelation. And in what we're revealing in the book of Revelation is that John is making a distinction between what we see here on earth, what's going on, right? The worldly powers, how the world is operating, which is opposed to and is revealed through the lens of the throne room of God on the throne. And so what we're seeing in the book of Revelation is this world in which we all know, but revealed from heaven, looking down through the will, through the actions of God the Father, and this the Lamb that was slain. And so this revelation is showing us what the reality of the world. What we can see here is not the reality. We can't get a full picture of what God is really doing, and John's revealing that to us. And we get that picture in chapters 4 and 5 with the great throne room scene, which we'll talk about next week. But Revelation is showing us the truth. It's showing us what the world is really like, and that's what apocalypse is. It's not what we generally think of it being, but it's a revealing of God's ways in this instance for the book of Revelation, showing us the world as it truly is. And so I think we need to get out of that mentality of what even apocalypse is, right? What the purpose of the book of Revelation is. It's not a roadmap to the end times. It's a revealing of the truth, really. A revealing of how God has things under control and how we as the church ought to live in light of those things, right? And so we'll unpack that as we move along, but even just switch your brain from what the purpose of Revelation is right now and what the purpose of an apocalypse is. Okay, so the second genre that I read earlier is found in the last verse that I read, which is a prophecy. Prophecy has a similar issue to apocalypse, I think, in our modern culture. Most people think of prophecy only as future telling, right? As predicting what is going to happen, and there is certainly a part of that from the Old Testament and the New Testament in a lot of ways. But one author that I really like describes the prophetic genre as speaking words of comfort and or challenge on behalf of God to the people of God in their concrete historical situation. Let me say that again. Speaking words of comfort and or challenge on behalf of God to the people of God and they're in their concrete historical situation. And so this definition really tracks with what you see in the Old Testament prophets, right? You see the prophets constantly calling Israel back to their first love, back to God, right? Repent, come back to God, or these things will happen. And the point isn't the future telling there. The point is the calling back, the challenge, sometimes the comfort. Think of the prophetic ministry of Jesus. Why do we call Jesus a prophet? He didn't go around all the time just predicting things, right? His prophetic ministry was calling the people back to God. Words of comfort and or challenge. Most of the time, challenge, I think. but even this idea of prophecy is not just to like understand what the end is going to be for us in the book of Revelation. It is a really words of comfort, to be honest with you, in the book of Revelation. Because we see this world, we see the evils, they're very apparent to us. We live in this world of evil. And the author of the book of Revelation is really comforting the church by showing us that God really has this under control. That he is the one doing battle on our behalf, and we are conquerors. We are overcomers because of who God is and what he has done. The author is showing us that is going to continue throughout all of history. So we talk about apocalypse, right? It's showing us from God's perspective. Prophecy, which is these words of comfort and challenge, in the book of Revelation. And then finally, Revelation is a letter. It's an epistle. Like all the others, you can tell by the form of how it's even written, the churches that it's written to. It has all the same markings of a normal first century letter, with an introduction, introducing the author, who it's supposed to be sent to. What's interesting about this letter, though, is that it's meant to be what's called a circular letter, which is meant to be that it's meant to be circulated. So the book of Revelation is given to, you know, seven specific churches in chapters 2 and 3. But this letter was meant to be copied and sent out to other churches. And it was also meant to be read in front of those churches, because very few people could actually read and write in the days in which it was written. And so even thinking about Revelation as an auditory book, as one that's meant to be heard rather than read necessarily, I think it is really helpful. That's where you get so much of the amazing imagery. And a lot of times that imagery and these crazy things that happen in the book of Revelation sort of like really mess us up and confuse us and get us honestly confused and unable to really read the book. But Revelation's meant to be heard, and all of these amazing pictures are meant to be engaged with our imagination. It's so imaginatively formulated so that our imagination sort of runs wild with the book of Revelation, and that we can really see God, see his movement, and see the ways he's working throughout history on behalf of his people. When Revelation's talked about in that way, I think it is so much more of a beautiful understanding of this book than the one that we have, which is about chaos and about vengeance and about, you know, death and all those. Some of those things are certainly a part of Revelation, but Revelation's meant for us to comfort us, to challenge us to greater fidelity with God, but to really show us who God is and how he's working in history. And I think that's a much better way to think about the book than the one that we normally have in our minds, which is just weird and chaotic. And so as we approach these next three talks on the book of Revelation, I want to really highlight those things, the way in which Revelation's meant to be beautiful, meant to be read and be understood by the church, and has been in a lot of ways co-opted, I think, by teachers that would rather use Revelation to their own ends than to really encourage the church with it. And so that's my hope. That's the goal for this series. I want to talk about how Revelation plays into our everyday lives, how it can encourage us in the work we put our hands to, no matter what that work is, and how we can live life of greater fidelity to God through the book of Revelation. So that's my pitch. That's where we're going. That's my intro. I hope you join along in this conversation. I'd love to talk about some of these stuff. I'd love to hear about some of your questions about Revelation. I'd love talking about this stuff. So please reach out. Let me know. You can find me on the socials through all the ways. I do ask if you're enjoying this content, if you like Theology of Hustle, I ask you to just leave a rating and review for me on iTunes. It just helps other people find the podcast. Get the word out and share. I'd love for you to share this series with your friends. If you're getting something out of it, I would love to know about it. So let's keep the conversation going, and let's learn about how Revelation affects our everyday work. And until next week, get out there and hustle.